Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'd like to look at verses 19 to 23. The Lord is risen. He's appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the women that were was with Mary. He's appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. And according to Luke's account, in Luke 24:34, Luke declares that the Lord appeared to Simon Peter. We don't know, it's not recorded when he did, but the scripture said that the Lord did. The Apostle Paul referred to that meeting that the Lord had with Peter in 1 Corinthians 15:5. And now we come to the account of when the Lord appeared to the rest of his disciples. Now, let me say this before we proceed in these few verses. There's some things in these verses that require reverent consideration. We pray that the Lord give us understanding of this glorious passage of Scripture. And here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say the same words that were uttered by the dad that was seeking the Lord's help concerning his child that was sick. That dad that said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." John chapter 20, verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you." Now, I thank the Lord for the continued setting forth of what day this was. Notice how many times the Spirit of God says over and over, being the first day of the week. I've said before, this is a special day. You say, "Well, this is just Sunday." No, it's not just Sunday. Today is the Lord's day according to the Scriptures. This is the Lord's day. This is the day in which we are remembering the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says the first day at evening, first day of the week, same day, doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, and came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. Now, the doors were shut. Barred? Well, the disciples were scared, had fear of the Jews, but the Lord appeared. Some say that he walked through the door. Some say the door did not hold any restriction to him. Did the door just open? I don't know. The Scripture says that the doors were shut. I looked it up. They were barred. They were closed. They were secured. And the Lord walked in. The Lord walked in. I looked at that and I thought this morning, jotted down a few notes. I thought, boy, what a beautiful picture of irresistible grace. You take the door of a man's wicked heart, shut, barred, "I'll not have this man to rule over me." And then Almighty God, according to His everlasting covenant of grace, mercy, compassion, He just walks in. You've seen that painting. It's supposed to be a picture of the Lord, and there's no doorknob on the outside, and He's knocking, you know. Go back and read that. That has nothing whatsoever to do with an unbeliever and him trying to get them to unlock the door to let him in. I'm telling you, when Almighty God comes, He comes in power. You know, the door just opens. He walks in and the Lord stood in the midst. Then this is what He said to them. First words out of His mouth to all of His disciples that were standing there. This is what He said to them. Peace be unto you. I went back and read the accounts of what He said to each of the different ones that He met with. You know, He said He came to the women. Now this is in Matthew 28:9. This is what He said to them first. All hail. That is, rejoice exceedingly and be glad. That's what His first words to them. Then He spoke to Mary Magdalene, and this is what He said to her. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Now this is what He... Why do you despair, and who do you seek for comfort? But to these that just a few days before had forsaken Him, to the one that had thrice denied Him when the Lord told Peter, this very day, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, in essence, it's not going to happen. It won't happen. I'll die for you. I'll follow you. I will not. And when he did, one of the accounts says he looked at the Lord. The Lord looked at him. My heart just breaks when I think of that, because I think of how many times have I done in attitude. Not maybe outwardly where someone would sit, but in attitude. Forsaken the Lord. Not believed Him. Not trusted Him. Not walked in the life that I had. So He walks to these that had fled. And this was His word to them. Peace. Harmony. Security. Rest. Quietness be unto you. Not blame. Not shame on you. Not rebuke. He said exactly what they needed to hear. He walked into their midst and He comforted them. Peace. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're feeling. I know what it is. And this is my word to you. Let me ask you this. How many times have we that believed? How many times have we found ourselves that you'll hear something preached in the gospel, and immediately, as soon as you hear something, the Spirit of God takes it and applies it to your heart, and your heart just rejoices, and your heart burns. It was just exactly what you needed to hear. Mitch, you just read out of 56, didn't you?
Right.
When you read that last verse, Psalm 56:13, he read this verse in my heart just, you know, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Lord, you paid my debt. Lord, you bore my sin. You put away my guilt. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? Lord, you've eternally, by your blood, presented me faultless in yourself by the shedding of your blood, the giving of your body. Lord, will you not keep me today? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. I read that verse and my heart just, I thought, I needed to hear that. Lord, will you not keep me today? You've delivered me eternally. Would you keep me right now? Oh, may the Spirit of God speak peace to us. Back in John 20, the Lord came up to him. He said, peace be unto you. And then look at the evidence. He spoke it to them. But then what he did was he supplied them with the evidence of their peace. Well, first of all, look the latter part of verse 19. Jesus stood in the midst. He was standing there. He said, peace be unto you. He stood there and they're looking at him. Well, what a comfort. He's risen from the grave. Peace. The Scripture declares where two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, I'm in the midst of you. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe, I know not as I ought, not as I shall, but I believe right now the Lord's in our midst. I believe that. Where is He? In our midst. He was in their midst. The Lord stood in their midst. And then verse 20, and when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Here, He said in the account of Luke 24, 38, 39. Listen to this. He said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He knew what they were thinking. He said to them in Luke's account, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Then he says, handle me. Touch me. Feel me. Here, touch me. Satisfy the desire that I know you have to be assured. Lord, it's you. It's really you. Do we not, even now, by faith, behold the evidence of our peace with new eyes? Do we not behold His hands and His side? He said, look at me. An unbeliever will say, I don't know what you're talking about. I know you don't. But I'm talking to God's people. Don't you, who the Lord has revealed, possess new eyes, the hearing ear, the seeing eye? Don't you, by faith, see Him? Do you not behold Him even now in our presence? And does not our heart rejoice as we realize that He's here? He said to them, He said, behold the marks in my hands and my side of your redemption. Look. From these hands, from this side, flowed the blood that has cleansed you from all sin. Rejoice. Peace. Peace be unto you. That blood that speaketh, the Scripture says, even now. Listen to Hebrews 12, 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What did Abel's blood cry? Vengeance. Vengeance. That's what his blood cried. Vengeance. That's what the Lord told Cain. He said, your brother's blood speaks vengeance. What is his blood? The Lord's blood. Pardon. Pardon. Here's what his blood Christ. Here's what His blood says. Accept it in the Beloved. I'm so thankful that it's not according to my works, or my will, or my ways. By grace, peace be unto you. When the Lord had showed them, that is verse 20, His hands at His side, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They rejoiced seeing. And we do too. We do too. One of these days, we're not going to see Him anymore by faith. Not anymore. It's going to be by sight. You know. One of these days, these eyes that behold Him truly by faith are going to be complete. And we're going to see Him as He is. And we're going to know Him. And we'll be like Him. Peace be unto you. And then verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, I couldn't help but notice the repeating of what He had just said to them. Peace be unto you. Then He said just again, peace be unto you. Made me think about that passage of Scripture, Philippians 3:1. Paul speaking, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. What safety in hearing the words of the Lord again, peace be unto you. You say, well, we heard that just a little while ago. I know I needed to hear it again. Because I'm so prone to forget. I so need to be reminded. First time He came there and spoke those words to them, they were sitting there scared and trembled for fear of the Jews. The Scripture says, and now the Lord speaks to them again, peace. Because He's preparing to send them out. It's not going to be long. 40 days He's going to ascend to His Father. And they're going to be without His physical presence. He promised them. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's with us. But there's a physical return that we're going to behold one of these days. And He's getting ready to leave. And now He's going to assure them of the peace and the comfort that they have because He's getting ready to send them. He said, as my Father hath sent me. How did the Lord God Jehovah send the Son? Brother Henry Mahan made a few comments on this, and I thought it was so good. I'm just going to read his comments. He said, the Lord's ministry was divinely instituted. As the Father hath sent me. He said, well, even so send I you. Well, ours is divinely instituted too. He, as God, sends His people. The Lord's ministry was to His people. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. His ministry was to His people. His high priestly prayer. Who was He praying for? I pray not for the world, but for those that You've given me out of the world. Who did He die for? I lay down my life for the sheep. Who's going to come to Him? All that the Father giveth me. To whom was His ministry? To His people. What is ours? To the Lord's people. That's what I'm doing. I'm preaching the gospel. God's going to call out His people. I don't know who they are. So I do just exactly what He's told us to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What's going to happen? Whatever God purposes, that's what's going to happen. His word's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Almighty God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to His people. As the Father has sent me. Well, what was the world's attitude toward the Lord? Well, the world hated Him. What does the Scripture say the world's going to do concerning us? They're going to hate us too. That's what the Lord said. As the Father sent me, even so send I you. John 17:14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. His ministry was confirmed by miracles, wonders, signs. That's what Acts 2:22 says. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. How about these apostles? How were they confirmed? Listen to Hebrews. Let me just read this to you. Hebrews 2:1-4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs, wonders, and divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. How was the Lord confirmed? By miracle signs. How were the apostles concerned? When the Lord sent them out, how were they confirmed? Same way. Miracles and signs and wonders. When the Lord came into this world, what did He preach? He preached the gospel concerning Himself. Listen to Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What? Who? Who did God's preachers preach? We preach Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and salvation. Let the world say what it will. They're going to stand before God and answer for it. But I'm telling you right now, the gospel of God's free grace, sovereign grace, electing grace, redeeming grace, regenerating, keeping grace, is the message that God the Spirit blesses to the salvation of God's people. All right, last two verses for this morning. John 20:22-23. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, that's a very, very misunderstood and distorted passage of Scripture. These disciples had already received the Holy Spirit of God in regenerating grace. They could not love the Lord, believe the Lord, follow the Lord without a new heart. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. But as it is written, I have not seen, ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Without the Holy Spirit in regenerating grace, the carnal heart is enmity against God. The natural man. Somebody said, well, I loved the Lord before I was converted. No, you didn't. Not according to Scriptures, you didn't. No. Almighty God gives a new heart, creates a new man in regeneration. Makes a new person there. So a sinner believes because he's born of God. It's given unto you to believe. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So what was the Lord doing? And what was He saying to them when He said, whosoever sins you remit, that is, forgive. They are forgiven unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Whoever sins that are not remitted, they're not remitted. Well, let me say this. I can tell you for a fact that Almighty God alone forgives sin. This thing, I came up in a religion where I was told that there was a man that could forgive sin. And I'd go and go to this little box, and it had these little, rickrack stuff. And I was to confess my sin to him. And he, I was told, could forgive sin. That's a lie. Nobody, no man can forgive sin. God alone. God Almighty forgives sin. So what was the Lord talking about? Well, first of all, when He breathed upon them who had already received the Spirit of God in regenerating grace, what the Lord did was He qualified them with the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the work that He was preparing them and calling them to. For the confirmation of who these men were, the servants of the Most High God. What gifts are you talking about? Well, the Scripture declares, let me just read Mark 16:18. Here's what the Lord gifted His apostles. They shall take up serpents. I know that there's, I see on TV and stuff where there's people that still think you can handle snakes and you're not going to get hurt. Well, I can tell you for a fact, there's some of them that have, and they died. Well, the Scripture says, concerning whoever the Lord's talking about, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Not going to hurt them. I know the Apostle Paul had a poison snake bite him, and people that was there, they just stood back and waited for him to die. Paul just jerked it off his arm, kept going. Scripture says, they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. The Lord gifted these men with the Spirit of God's gifts for the confirmation of who they were and in whose name they spoke. They possessed varying gifts that included The discernment of spirits. Acts 8:23 is that verse of Scripture where Simon the sorcerer, he was watching Peter and seeing how Peter was able to do certain things. And he said, how much is it going to cost me to be able to do what you do? Now, by the gift of the Holy Spirit that was given Peter as one of the Lord's apostles, listen to the words, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity. How did Peter know that? The Spirit of God gifted him to know that. Peter wouldn't have that ability. I perceive that thou art. I mean, you could guess, maybe. But how about the gifts of tongues? What about on the day of Pentecost? The Spirit of God fell on that group of men, 120 men that were preaching. And they began to speak in other languages that they'd never learned before. Languages that some people understood. These are Galileans. And how is it that we hear them speak in our own language? That was a gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Casting out devils, raising the dead. You remember when that fellow was sitting up, Paul preached all night, preached till midnight one night. Fellow was sitting in the window, fell out and died. Paul went out and God raised him up. Through Paul. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. But then the Lord said unto them, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Now remember this. No one can forgive sin but God. Almighty God forgives sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what the Lord was saying unto them concerning the message that they're going to preach. The Lord commissioned and gifted and gave the power through the preaching of the glorious gospel of God's grace. This is what He was saying. And we're doing the same thing right now. I have no ability to remit, to take away, or to cause you to retain sins. I can't do that. I can't do that. They couldn't either. They couldn't forgive sin, but I tell you what they did do. By the grace of God, the gifts of confirmation of what they were saying and who they were, they preached the gospel that declared, this is how sins are remitted, or this is how sins are retained. You take a false preacher, preaching a false gospel of free works religion, they're not telling you how sins are remitted or how sins are retained. What they're doing is they're declaring man's honor, not God's. But according to the message that you preach, the Lord said, sins are declared to be remitted by the grace of God through faith in Christ. Those sins are remitted. These men couldn't do it, but they declared the message of God who does. And He said, those sins that are retained in the message that you preach, you're going to declare how sins are not put away. That is, if you believe that your sins are remitted because you were baptized or because you... No. That false message, He said, that's going to be a message that declares how sins are retained. He said, you're going to go forth and you're going to preach the gospel. That message that declares sins remitted or sins retained. And it's going to be without dispute. And that message is going to declare the basis, the foundation of the forgiveness of sins. That Philippian jailer came to Paul. What must I do to be saved? This is what he was asking. What is the evidence of salvation? Not What can I do in order to be saved? What must I do? Paul said, I tell you what you must do. You must believe. And it's not going to be of you. It's going to be by grace. God's going to have to give you faith to believe. What must I do to be saved? God's going to have to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. That's the remitting or the retaining of sins. That message that we preach today, this is what we say. Here's the message. I can't forgive sin, but I can tell you what I can tell you. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's what he told that Philippian jailer. I can't do it, but I tell you this, the God I serve can. How about that message that retaining of sins? Here's what it is. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I didn't retain them. You that do not believe, they're retained on you. The message that we preach. This is what he told them. The Lord's disciples were given the Spirit of God, the gifts of God's Spirit to preach the message of remittance or retention of sins. And that's what we do today. May the Lord add His blessing upon His precious word for Christ's sake.